All of you graduating seniors, you've come so far. We're so proud of you and thankful to God for seeing you this far. And I'm guessing that you all know that you have more to go and that there's more growth that you're looking to experience in your life. I know for me, some of my biggest leaps forward in maturity came in the years immediately after my graduation from high school. And one quality that I'm praying you receive a lot more of is discernment. Discernment means to judge well, to understand life, to see the good and the bad, the profitable and the pointless in any given situation, and then to choose wisely. That's discernment. And I don't know if you noticed, but we're not born discerning. We're born the opposite. We're very undiscerning, especially in our younger years. But high school seniors, given your age, given your maturity, your coming experiences, you are poised for a discernment explosion. You are going to be given ample opportunity to judge well. Sometimes you will, and other times you won't. And God will be there for you with that. But hopefully, you will learn the godly skill of discernment quickly. But there are some prerequisites for that. And let me just highlight a few prerequisites for discerning well, for judging well. The first thing you need is knowledge of God's word. It is absolutely impossible for you to discern well without God's word. So remember, discern means to judge well, to judge rightly, to be able to make good decisions with friends and about what's healthy, how to order your day, what should be a priority, the relationships that you have in life, and so much more. And to do that well, you need the Word of God. You need to know what's good. You need to know what's bad. And the only way you'll truly know in its fullest form what is good and what isn't is with the Word of God. Without God's Word, you're going to miss the most important elements and factors when it comes to making friends and being a friend, or how you should go about your day, or how about you should prioritize your time or your relationships and money, which is you should do with media and everything in between. And so think of it. If the Word of God informs you, if the Word of God is the shape that your life should look like, then you need God's Word in your life to judge well. And every single one of us, regardless of our age or experiences, we need to keep finding ways to get the Word of God more into our hearts, into our minds. It's the only way we can discern well. Now, that might feel like we beat the Bible drum a lot here at First Baptist, but it's because it is so important. It's critical. Reading the Bible on your own, going to Bible studies, making it a consistent habit to come and hear God's word on a Sunday morning. Critical. And maybe even most importantly, is preparing your heart and mind to receive the Word of God in the various venues in which you have that opportunity. Like, your Bible reading will not be very fruitful if you keep checking your phone every time you get a notification. You just won't. You won't have a very fruitful time. You won't benefit from the Word of God if you're making every third Bible study. Or if you're not getting the necessary rest and preparation on a Saturday night before you come on a Sunday morning. Like, you're not going to be ready. If you don't have a teachable spirit and a hungry soul for God, my guess is you're not going to be very excited to hear the Word of God. So think through all of these things, all of these ways in which we can get a better handle, a better grip on the Word of God so that you can discern well. But you need something more than Bible knowledge to discern well. Friends, you need a kind of heart that is alive and sensitive to the truth, to what is good and bad. You need a kind of humility that recognizes you don't discern well without the help of God. Or maybe to put it another way, you can know what the Bible says about what is good or bad, right and wrong, life-giving and death-producing, but it won't be any good to you if you don't love what you hear and you're not ready to submit to what you hear. And I'll be honest with you, friends, and I struggle with this sometimes myself. I know a lot of Christians who know a lot of the Bible. They just don't want to submit to it. They don't want to do what it says. And then we have a way, even us Bible-following, Jesus-loving Christians, have a way of rationalizing our disobedience and our lack of submission to what God's Word says so that we remain in control and not submit to the authority of God. It's very dangerous. Don't think for one minute because you have a lot of Bible up here in your head that that's all you need. Because I know a lot of people who have a lot of Bible up in here, but they got a heart here that's resistant to what God wants them to do. They don't want to do it. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at in our passage this morning. So we're nearing the end of our focused attention on being ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus and where he'll judge us whether we're faithful or unfaithful. He's telling us to be prepared. As the pressure increases and the hostilities come upon us. And so thanks for sticking with us. We're almost done. We're going to take a shift of focus in the summertime as we get done with this Keep Your Lamp Burning series that we've been talking about. We got about 2 or 3 more messages left in this series. We want to be faithful servants. Faithful servants. And Jesus has some very important things to say to us today about being discerning, because you can't be faithful if you're not discerning. And so let's read our passage together and seek God's help. The passage is Luke 12, starting in verse 54. Luke 12, starting in verse 54. We're going to start reading there and going to read to the end of the chapter. So follow along with me. I'll read Luke 12, verse 54. The writer says, "He also said to the crowds, 'When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer puts you in prison. I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny.'" You'll notice that there are these subheadings in your Bibles. If you have an ESV Bible like I do, you'll see there's 2 subheadings. There's a subheading before verse 54. There's also a subheading above verse 57. The one says interpreting the times. The other one says settle with your accuser. Those subheadings, friends, they're not a part of the scriptures. They were not part of the biblical text. Those are added by translation committees to kind of help you get an idea of the theme of a certain section, or maybe to get a sense of the structure of a passage. They do it to try to be helpful. And in this case, I actually don't think it is very helpful. I think it gives the impression that we have these 2 separate, somewhat distinct little chapters with different themes, when in reality, these 2 little paragraphs are actually 1 paragraph, and they're meant to go together. The first portion addresses the failure of people to discern well, and then why they struggle discerning. And then the second half, that second paragraph, if you will, is a warning about the coming consequences if you do not turn from that present course that you're on. So maybe just kind of a heads up, don't always rely on the information provided in those subheadings or in the structure they suggest. Sometimes they're helpful, but sometimes it's not. And I think this is an example of one of those times. Look for the clues from the scriptures. That'd be my encouragement. So let's talk about this passage. At this point, Jesus is directing his comments to the crowds. I mentioned this past Sunday how it's a little confusing. Is Jesus talking to the crowds or is he talking to his disciples? Well, right now it seems like he's addressing the crowds because the words that he has of correction seem to more specifically apply to them. And he starts by saying, you know, you discern a few things well. You know how to discern the weather, and you're good at judging that. You know, humans have always been aspiring meteorologists. There's patterns to our weather systems and signs that help us get educated guesses as to what's coming in the near future. And of course, with the internet and the access that we all have now to the radar, like we all feel good at that job, you know, at least better than the person on TV, that's for sure. I remember when I baled hay for my uncle in high school in the South Dakota Plains. You know, the South Dakota Plains, especially in kind of east central South Dakota where my uncle farmed, the ground is as flat as could be. And you can just see for miles upon miles. And of course, with no trees out on the plains, it's almost like you can't help but see for forever. And it'd be common for us when we're out in those tractors to see the blue thunderclouds forming in the distance. And when we saw that, we're like, oh, it's a clue. Hey, keep on going. We got to get done. Got to beat the rain. And of course, in other parts of the world, the weather is even more predictable than it is here in the United States with the dry seasons and the rainy seasons. And Jesus is saying, you know how to judge the weather. Great. But why don't you know how to judge the times? And that's what Jesus means by interpret. You'll notice in verse 56, he brings up this idea of interpret. You know how to interpret, judge the appearance of earth and sky, but you don't know how to interpret or judge or discern the times. And Jesus gives us a hint as to why they can't. Do you see the hint there? Look at verse 56. You hypocrites. Their hypocrisy is what was keeping them from being able to judge the times. Another way of saying hypocrisy is their divided heart. They had this divided heart. They had this heart that was split, where they wanted to straddle between living in the world and loving the world, and then with another foot with the things of God and loving God. Their hearts were divided. They struggled knowing whether they should to work and serve for the approval of man or to work and serve for the approval of God. And there's a passage, in fact, I think it's John chapter 12. Jesus, or the writer actually says that explicitly about the Pharisees. It says that they even believed God. It's really an interesting passage. They believed God, but they loved the approval of man more than the glory of God. They straddled the fence. And because of that, they were undiscerning. I'm going to talk about that sense of a divided heart later, but keep that lodged in your memory this morning. A divided heart. A divided heart, a hypocritical heart, keeps you from discerning well. Now I want to explore this discernment with you this morning, what it means, how you get it. But let me show you briefly how that second paragraph fits. Okay, it's another parable. And what Jesus is trying to do with that parable is he's actually trying to persuade the people to repent quickly. You know how to interpret the weather. You're failing to interpret the times, the seasons. It's because of your hypocrisy. It's because of your divided heart. And then here's the point. Turn quickly. Turn quickly. You know, if you have an accuser, someone accusing you of doing something wrong, he's going to drag you to the judge. Well, settle up quickly. Repent quickly. Turn quickly. Because if he gets you to the judge and the judge pronounces sentence on you and he's going to hand you over to the officer and the officer's going to put you into prison, then at that point, you don't get out until you pay your last penny. And so it's meant to be a warning about the coming judgment if you continue on this path of hypocrisy. But even with that, friends, there's a hope. There's hope here. You can turn. Turn to God. Repent of this divided heart. Have a united heart where the things of God are the only thing that matter to you. And so in that, there's a sense of hope. Now, to begin talking about discernment, I want to ask you a question about for yourself, about you. I want you to think about this. How well do you interpret the present time? Like, how well do you think you do that? Now, if you're like me, you might be wondering, well, I don't even know what that means. What does it mean to interpret the present time well? I think there's a clue in verse 57. You might not see it. You might not see it because of that paragraph break, and we've already talked about that. But again, verse 56 and verse 57 are meant to go right together. In verse 56, he says, "You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" Verse 57, "And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right?" I think that's what it means to interpret the present time. Judging what's right. Judging what's true. Judging what's correct. What's life-giving about the present time. It's also judging what's harmful. It's also discerning what's going to be condemned. It's also seeing what's wrong with the present time. It's looking at everything around you. Not last year, not 10 years from ago, not 100 years ago, not even a year from now or 10 years from now. Right now, it's being able to discern right now the good from the bad, the right from the wrong, the life-giving to the death-producing. How well do you do that? How well do you discern, my good brothers and sisters, the current sexual ethics that we talked about last week that our culture is promoting? How well do you discern? How well do you discern what's out on our airwaves right now and what's found in the media and how much even time you should give to that and how much of it you should just turn off? How well do you discern the best use of your money that God has entrusted to you right now at this present time with the current needs that are around us for the kingdom purposes of God and also the temptations of luxury and comfort? Like, how well do you discern all of these things? Several things come to my mind when I think about judging rightly about the present time. And I think what I want to do is I want to try to help you see what that means and what it looks like and even how to do it as we move forward here. I think the first and maybe most obvious one to discern well is simply knowing the difference between right and wrong. Knowing the difference between right and wrong. You know, when you are untethered and disconnected from the words and ways of God, you won't know the difference between right and wrong very easily. And so no wonder there are these cultural confusion. And I want to share with you what I would consider a pathway to foolishness rather than a pathway of discernment. And it starts with the centrality of self, which is celebrated and encouraged everywhere today, where nothing is more important than me. I'm at the center of life, and because of that, nobody makes decisions better than me for me. No one determines the path better than me. I'm going to do it my way, and nobody knows what I need more than I do. So it starts with this centrality of the self. Next, rejecting authority is another step towards being unable to discern right from wrong. Now, let me offer some sympathy right here. Sadly, so many of the authorities in our world today have proven to be untrustworthy. It's hard to blame a person who distrusts untrustworthy authority. But our problem, I think, is a little bigger than distrusting a particular authority. We are beginning to reject authority altogether. We are beginning to turn away from any authority at all. And when you are at the center, friends, of your own life, you realize there is no greater authority than you, and so you won't recognize any authority. And then finally, trusting your feelings guarantees your inability to discern well. When you go all in on self-determination and reject the need for authority in your life, what else is there than how I feel? Your dreams, what your heart says, what makes me feel good, what makes me happy. And one day I feel like this woman makes me happy, and the next day I feel like this woman makes me happy. And who are you to say that's right or wrong for me? Because this is how I feel. I don't feel like going into work today, or I don't feel like listening to my supervisor, so I'm going to walk out, or I'm going to give him the peace of my mind. And then when I get fired, who do I blame? Well, not me, because I was just following my heart. I was just doing what I felt like doing. So it's his fault or her fault. Friends, this is a recipe for being completely unable to judge well. It's the complete opposite of how we should live our lives. And you know what's really scary and sad to me? Many who say they follow Jesus live like this. They talk differently, but this is how they live. They are centered on their own life, they reject authority, and they listen to their own feelings. First Baptist, I just want to encourage you. Embrace the right recipe. Here's the right recipe. The centrality of God in your life, where nothing is more important than Him. He is the governing force, the agent of all of your life, and because of that, you're looking for His authority, the authority from His Word, the authority that He grants His church in your life. And there's even other authorities that God has instituted in your life. You know, we're celebrating Memorial Day. You can't help but think of our governing authorities, right? Governing authorities. Romans 13, verse 1, obey your governing officials. Submit to their authority. God has instituted them. God has given them the authority to rule over you. You reject their authority, you reject God's authority. It's very important. And then finally, don't trust your feelings. No, be suspicious about your feelings. Be honest about them. I have my feelings. But then what do I want to do? I want to examine them. I want to see if my feelings will lead me well or lead me astray. And more times than not, my feelings lead me astray. So, learning right from wrong is the very first obvious thing we need to know to discern well. But judging the times rightly also include understanding the consequences of what's right and wrong. So this is like a second piece. People who discern well can see the good of doing right and can see the foolishness or danger of doing wrong. Can you see the difference I'm trying to make, the distinction I'm trying to make right now? There's a difference between knowing what's right and knowing the good that will come from it. That's different. And wise, discerning people can do more than see what is right or wrong. They can see if it's good or if it's harmful, helpful, or dangerous. So, seniors again, if I could talk with you, or also even our high school students or our college students. Think of it. You're going to be invited to a party, and you are pretty sure that God's law and man's law will be broken there. You know that breaking God's law and man's law is wrong. I'm glad for that. That's the first step of discernment. Knowing what is right and knowing what is wrong. But you know what? That party that breaks God's law and where man's law will be broken too is more than just right or wrong. It's also good or bad for you. It is also helpful to your future or harmful to your future. It is either going to enhance your relationships or it will jeopardize your relationships. And judging the times rightly mean you can see not just if something is right or wrong, you can see the consequences of what is right and wrong. And so graduate to discernment 201. Don't just stay at discernment 101. Go to 201. Now there's a verse from Psalms that I think is a great life verse to know, to memorize, to help you be discerning, all of us, every single one of us. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Can I just comment on this verse real briefly? We need the teaching of the Lord. We talked about that already. That's how this prayer starts. We know where this teaching comes from. It comes from God's word. His instructions, his commands for us. And the goal of this teaching is that we might walk, live our lives according to the truth. That's how we would live our lives in a world that's full of deceit, luring us away into darkness. But we need more than just this teaching. We need more than this truth. We need a heart that's changed so that we want the truth, that we love God's word. And that united heart needs to be centered on the fear of God, respecting his authority, recognizing there are consequences for ignoring him and his word and trusting yourself. And so what if Psalm 86, verse 11, what if that was a life verse for you? What if you memorized Psalm 86, verse 11? It's not a long verse. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. What if you memorize that verse? You could memorize that today. You could just say that to yourself a half dozen times a day. You'd probably know it. You'd know it enough where if you woke up tomorrow and you said, Psalm 86, verse 11, what is that again? You could probably say it. And then before you go to bed at night, you say it again. And if you did that for 2 weeks, I would bet you would have Psalm 86, verse 11, hidden in your heart. In such a way that you can recall it to memory when you need to be guided by the word of God to be a discerning man, to be a discerning woman. And then, what if on top of that, what if you actually took steps of faith to actually live that verse out? And so what if you actually made changes in your life where you actually received the teaching of God's word by reading the scriptures, by committing yourself to regularly hearing it preached, where you would gaze upon the majesty and splendor and power of God, where your fear of God would rise in your life more and more. Imagine how well you would judge the present time. And can I ask you, do you have a good reason not to? I mean, can you tell me a good reason why you can't memorize and know and implement Psalm 86, verse 11? Like, I'd love to hear one. It's so simple. Well, it's simple, but it's hard. And you know why it's hard? Because our lack of discipline, the distractions that we encounter. But I just want to encourage you, friends, make it a priority. I was thinking of Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. How does a young man or a young woman keep his or her way pure? By keeping it, guarding it according to your word. With all my heart I seek you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Do you want to be guarded from sinning against God? Hide his word in your heart. That's how it'll happen. And so, friends, I'm laboring, I'm preaching with the hopes that you might be a faithful servant to the Lord and the only way you can be a faithful servant is if you remain discerning and grow in discernment. And I pray that God's word is helping you do that just today.